Ladies and gents, your dopest host presents Extravagance. In a lady's frame, leaving cum stains.
Oh no.
Niggas remain in awe when I brought a Dillinger, throw it to your jaw.
Oh no. Oh my God.
Never a flaw. Never before have you seen such magnificence in a black princess. Yes.
What is this?
Flows phenom. I'm the bomb. Diggy, ask Biggie. Keep a dedicated squad with me. Thank you.
Oh, God. Okay. I want you to know that I was about to ask if you sat up and wrote some slam poetry. And then it clicked for me. Like, no, you did not actually go back to 2001. You just...
Yeah.
Being yourself. Amen. Right. Well, whatever. Amen. Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. First episode of the year. Happy to have you back. If you're returning, if you're new, welcome. Let's get through whatever this shit show is together, shall we? I am Dean Davenport's List.
And I am Fannie Lou Hamer. And again, this is The Read. Thank you for coming back.
It is indeed. Let's jump into our regular scheduled program with some Black excellence.
It's a whole nother year. I almost forgot. Yeah. Nothing has changed, but Happy New Year.
So this Black excellence is going to go to a man named Keith Walker in Atlanta. He's 58 years old, and he single-handedly saved a burning, like an entire shelter's worth of pets after it caught fire.
What?
So apparently Mr. Keith Walker, who I read on Because of Them We Can, has been experiencing homelessness since 13 years old, has a dog named Bravo. And this pet shelter called W Underdogs. And apparently this place was allowing for Mr. Walker to keep his dog there at night. And so he was preparing to go pick up his dog, take them for one of their normal strolls. And apparently there was an electrical fire that started in the shelter. And he saved all 16 animals inside, 6 dogs and 10 cats. And apparently the founder of the place, Gracie Hamlin, said they were like a day away from a new lease on a different place anywhere or something like
that.
Wow. But the blessing of... this man coming in and saving all of those pets that are still, you know, healthy and very likely happy is very sweet. And I appreciated that very much. And you can go to Because of Them We Can and like find ways to reach out to the shelter, at least if you want to help. I didn't see anything directly linked to how one could help him specifically.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe my eyes glossed over it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's still like... homeless now or what. I'm not sure about the details of that situation, but man, you know, I just feel like it I would probably do something like that, thinking way more of the animals than the people that it would affect.
Yes,
like 100% thinking about those innocent beings who do not deserve this craziness, you know, much more than how I would feel about people reacting to it. Shout out to that.
That's funny
man.
You say that, because he told CNN, Keith Walker said, if you love a dog, you can love anyone in the world. And I said, oh, Keith, I know you're going to heaven, and I know I'm not. And here's how I know it.
Because
I love nearly any dog you put in front of me, but all you humans can fuck right off. Right on off. So
I don't think you're gonna be, you know, turned away at heaven's gate, friend. I don't think that. But this man, Keith, is a unique soul indeed.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into some 2021 drama in the pop culture segment, Hot Tops, the Squirt Locker. First up, who's gonna be? Oh yeah, okay, so let's start the year.
Gross.
With Onika's baby. Nicki Minaj posted the first few photos that we've gotten to see of her son on Instagram. Apparently he's just a tad over 3 months old.
Oh my God.
Now, which is approximately the length it takes for babies to get ripe.
That's how long it takes for them to air out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I understand, you know, the patience, and also like, bitch, mind your business. Let me enjoy my baby.
Right.
So first thought reaction when I saw these pictures was an intense homosexual gasp. Look at this precious.
Yes.
These cheekums. How do you not just pinch and kiss these cheeks all day long?
He is the so cutest child. And of course, he is completely decked out in Fenty. Yeah. Because I'm sorry, Fendi. Fendi, Fenty. If Fenty make clothes for newborns, I'm sure he got it. Like,
I mean, the doll gave you a photo dump of this child in Fendi, Burberry, Gucci. Like, he has all
of
the things.
Yeah, he does. He's very, very rich. Even the outfit that looks regular, I'm sure costs a few grand. So
I said the same thing.
Like, even his little Christmas onesie, like, I'm sure that was $300. So.
Right. Like, okay, cool.
So, but yes, he looks absolutely a lot like her. Adorable. Yeah, he does. I agree. I don't really know what her husband looks like, so I can't comment to that part. But, yeah, I see Nikki in his face. I love when babies just don't smile. They basically look completely unimpressed with everything going on around them.
Same.
And of course, I love his little chain and his watch and all that, because of course, Nikki's baby has a fucking chain and his wearing bracelets. I love it. I love it. I love him.
One of his outfits could take good care of like many of us out here.
Like, you could just squish that baby all day long.
Yeah, he's a very, very
precious. He's so cute.
And Trini too. So fun.
Okay.
So she didn't post what the baby's name is. His nickname's Papa Bear because, I mean, the name fits, I guess. Like,
I mean, he does.
I would probably...
Yeah, he looks like
I probably have like 16 nicknames for this baby.
Right. A million nicknames and none of them, nothing close to his given name.
Oh, and his diamond pendant also says Papa Bear. My God.
Of course it does. My.
Leave us alone.
Like.
Apollo, go away from me with this.
Like, I want to see his diaper bag. I want to see his crib. I want to see his room. Like, I just know opulence is the name of this child's existence. I know it.
Well, she didn't tell us what his name is, but she didn't tell the Barbs what his name could have been.
What?
She said a lot of people... She said, you know what his name was supposed to be? I think I might still change it. This is to ET Online, I think. A lot of people said they liked it, but I said, nah. His name was going to be Ninja. I changed it at the last minute. And the angels sang.
They did. They did do that. Like, I didn't want to. I'm sure somebody out there is named Ninja, and like, I'm not trying to be rude.
That's not your fault.
Right. But like, Ninja Petty is a name for that ass.
Nigga, even Ninja Mirage sounds like an anime. Like,
that's a like lot to put on a new soul. It's a lot to put on a new being on this earth. So, you know, I mean, when it comes right down to it, I'm sure Nikki went with the vibes and whatever name came to her as like befitting of her young prince. That's what she chose. And if she like it, I love it. Because this child, I mean, like the definition of adorable. He's so cute.
I feel like I'm really curious to see how this affects her in terms of artistry. Like, to me, it's first of all, kind of just like, damn, how old am I? Because I remember when this woman literally started making music. So, oh, now she's a mom, which is really fun and exciting. But yeah, I'm excited to see how she's going to take All You Bitches Is My Sons and have it somehow actually include her son.
Right. It's definitely going to turn into You Bitches Couldn't Even Touch My Son.
Like, my real son. Like,
so my son shitted on your existence 3 minutes after he made it to Earth. It's going to be something like that. So
bring us the wordplay, Queen.
Yeah, I'm happy for her because I know she wanted this, and you know, a baby can really completely change your life. And I'm sure she's over the moon. So congratulations to Nikki and Nikki alone.
Also, I'm loving up on a brand new baby, Keisha Kiora and Gucci Mane, the Gucci Mane. Their baby boy was born just a couple of days before Christmas. His name, Ice Davis.
You know what? Of course it is.
Yes.
I'm actually...
Are famous people not allowed to give their babies regular names?
They are. We just... When they're the level of famous where we wouldn't care, that's when they give their baby a normal name.
That's a good point, actually, now that you say it.
When everybody is up they ass, they're like, fuck it. I'm going to name my baby Adam. And the other one is Atmosphere. And y'all going to fucking deal with it. And we're just going to deal with it. So, okay,
it really
Ice
is.
Mane is fine. I'm sure he has a chain that says Ice.
Oh, yes. You know. No, and I can tell you, no meme for sure that... The Gucci Mane has a chain that says Ice Daddy. Brand new gift.
You know it. And they will be in family, like matching Gucci house shoes.
Oh, no. It's all done.
Ice Mommy.
It's on the gram.
Ice Daddy.
He has like Ice Dad
ice
on
Prince.
The pajamas.
Oh, my God.
I'm not
God,
even joking.
Nigga.
Like these, they're photographs.
Oh, my. Wow. The fact that I thought that I was speculating.
No. Okay. <it's> not- It's all available to Korea.
Of course it is. Oh my God.
Keisha's apparently got this nigga Cuban link chain.
Cuban
worth
Lane.
A report for $2.5 million. Then she gonna get her then she gonna get her rich Jamaican ass on Instagram talking about some. My husband just gave me $1 million for my push present. Leave us alone. Like, the girls are hungry.
Ma'am. Like, I'm
come honestly, back next Christmas.
Right. As a black girl, I'm happy for you because, you know, I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
for winning in the capitalistic game. But, sister, people had to give, they had to tell their kids, we still have a place to live and that's your Christmas present. And a lot of people didn't even have that. So, like...
Yeah.
Just a little bit of awareness. Like, it goes such a long way. Like, your life is really charmed right now, but everybody else is really struggling.
It's like, when does that even continue to be gag worthy? Like, y'all spending ridiculous amounts of money that the average American will never see in their lifetime is not anything that's shocking anymore.
Yeah, that's
we know
not
that
new.
Y'all go out and spend $5 million on a shoe or $10 million on a car. Like we know that y'all do it. So what is that even?
And we've been knowing since the 90s when all of a sudden it was TV shows dedicated to talking about what celebrities
right.
brought and specials on MTV about the amount of money y'all spent on your houses and your music videos. And like, we know y'all are rich. So...
And like, for clarity,
what's the point here?
For the clarity, I get celebrating what you're doing, what you have, what you've accomplished, whatever. Like, I don't even feel like there's anything necessarily wrong with flexing in normal circumstances. You know what I mean? Who the fuck didn't love cribs? Everyone likes to see these things. And I guess for a lot of people, it's also like, oh, this is something to aspire to, or I really would like to have a bag like that or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, right now, when the girls are still trying to figure out if they're going to have a place come like a week or two from now, it's like, but maybe a lot of y'all don't even care. If you broke and don't give a fuck, let me know.
I mean, all right. So first of all, you, you kind of put them people in a difficult position, but. The thing is, I'm sure the Shade Room comments would tell you that a lot of people don't care. A lot of people are like, yeah, I'm very fucking broke and haven't eaten it in 2.5 days, but I'm happy for Keisha Mane. And that's fine. You can feel that way. Like, you really can. And yet there are people who feel differently, and that is just as valid. Like, like you said, there is a time that we love to watch rich people do rich shit. And honestly, even now, there are still people who love to watch rich people do rich shit. But a lot of people are struggling in a way that is new to, like, the planet. Like, nobody has lived through this type of shit before. So again, a little awareness goes a long way, but that doesn't take away from my joy for Keisha and Gucci and this baby. Like, I'm very happy for you. And I want to see all the little gaudy matching family outfits. I want all that shit. I want all that shit. I want to see him dressed in mesh for carnival. I want all that shit. Because you know Keisha's going to do it.
No, obviously, absolutely. He already has like some meme ass picture where he got one of them fucking those hats with the dreads inside of it, so it looks like you have a like. A
honestly, this child is going to change music. Watch him be. He's going to change music.
Ice.
He is. He is going to unite Jamaica and Black America in a way that has never before been seen. Not since.
I want you to know that that is never going to happen.
I'm telling you. I'm prophesying this over this baby's life. He is going to do things that have not been seen since, you know, Shaba.
Okay, so next we have Nene's upcoming March on Bravo.
Wait, nigga, what? I have to look this up.
Nene tweeted on New Year's Eve, "Be smart and do not support countdown shows tonight that aren't supporting or respecting Black women. Creativity / equality and blacklisting us from working if we speak the truth about their wrongdoings." Now, when y'all spell about ABT, how much longer do you feel like it would take you to put an O and a U in there?
Don't get me started, because honestly, that is one of the abbreviations that really pisses me off. I've gotten used to a lot of them. A lot of them I have gotten used to. But ABT is just like, there's nothing keeping you from just spelling about. There's nothing.
It's not a long
word.
And
yet, why are you giving me a I just don't. I'm sorry.
She continues, "In 2021, we will form a march outside of these racist studios. # Black Women Matter." What? I think that Nene just be tweeting things. I don't think that she has any intention on forming any sort of a march, nor has she had a conversation with anybody about a day on March. I think that Nene is just triggered probably by the fact that Andy Cohen clearly doesn't give a fuck about anything that she's talking about and is still happily fucking working.
Right.
I will say, I have chosen not to watch The Real Housewives or really anything on Bravo after the first few episodes, or however they landed that Potomac shit after the fight between Monique Samuels and whatever Candace's last name is. So I think that Andy and lots of other people in production over there for those shows absolutely gaslight the fuck out of all of these women and then get them around wine and gossiping and put them in situations that are like antagonistic or, you know, like
that's the point of the show.
That's literally the fuck why we watch it, bitch. So it's like, why is it that when the Black girls get into altercations, big, small, whatever the fuck size, whatever the fuck intensity, y'all want to go on this whole fucking like 3-episode special about the effects of violence in the Black community and like how you need to be a better example to your children and your daughters and da 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 da. Meanwhile, Teresa Giudice is body slamming 6 bitches back to back in New Jersey. Yeah. Like, when the white women do it, and they do on these other shows, it never gives that type of time or that energy. And I just could not stand. Not only were the producers raggedy for the way that they handled this shit, other women on the cast were also trying to like villainize this girl for getting into a fight or whatever. Just because a lot of y'all are not prepared to get into a physical altercation does not mean that it is not human. It's not ideal. Nobody, you know, ideally just wants to fight or whatever fuck, but it fucking happens, especially when you are putting me in a situation with somebody you know I don't like, somebody that does not like me, somebody that we have all been talking about while we're drunk.
Right. And fighting is not unique to Black people by any stretch of the imagination. Like you just said, when it comes to every other housewife show and really most other reality based shows, frequently people get into physical fights, and it's never like a condemnation on the whole white race or the whole brunette, exactly. You know, population that you got into a fight with another bitch. It's just a fucking fight and it's part of the storyline. But it's not like we all need to sit around and be like, how dare you make white women look bad? Like, it's never that. It's just a fight because a fight is all that it is. And so I see what you're saying. I'm real iffy and sometimey with Bravo shows anyway. I kind of have to be in the mood. But as far as Lanithia is concerned, I mean, first and foremost, she need to start Googling before she names her projects. But also, when the system was good enough for you because you were a part of it and you were building your brand and making your money, then it was just fucking fine for you to play along with Andy Cohen's shenanigans. The rest of us been knew that it was racist shenanigans. It was just okay with you until all of a sudden you wasn't a part of it no more for whatever reason. I really don't even know why you fell out with the whole Housewife franchise, and I don't care to learn, but I'm just not going to take up for all the people that I could possibly be like, oh, I'm finna ride and march for you. Like, march on Bravo, first of all, disrespectful. But secondly, of all the things I could march, that's not going to be one of them, sister. I'm so sorry. I will mention it when I see something racist happening, but I'm not about to go out my way to protest the way reality TV works. No.
Like, funny enough, I agree with you, sis.
But I do. I actually
not
do
because
agree.
Of your circumstances. Exactly. But I don't disagree with
but
you.
But your and circumstances are the only reason you're talking about it, and I can't respect right. it.
Like, when she mentioned it, or when I saw this tweet about marching or whatever, the first fucking thing I thought about was when she was telling the girls in Atlanta, don't come down to Buckhead with all that
see.
Shit. That
see?
No, it wasn't like that hood rat. I absolutely exaggerated. But like,
yeah. No, I wouldn't say you absolutely exaggerated. You just got the accent wrong. But it was basically that. So, I mean, the facts are facts. So, I mean, yeah, I just, if it was a problem, then you would have been known and acknowledged and all. You know, I just don't have it for NeNe. That's it. I don't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good luck, girl.
Yeah.
So, I have no problem admitting how hard I laughed at this headline.
Oh, Lord.
And not because it's a bad thing. Before y'all start think piecing me, I just found it. It caught me off guard.
Oh, Lord.
Master P is apparently in talks to buy Reebok for $2.4 billion.
What?
Yes. Now, again, I have no explanation for why I cackled, but I just like, you're just scrolling through doing a deep dive to see what the hot tops are. And it's like, what? Like every now and then there's a thing that just completely hits me nowhere.
I mean,
out of nowhere.
Would have had no idea that Master P was worth $2.4 billion.
I don't really like.
What?
I don't cover a lot of the stuff that Master P is doing bit by bit, but what I have absolutely acknowledged about him for quite a while is that he is always working. Like, he always has some sort of a
business.
New business or some shit. Like, so it wasn't like, yeah, it was like a huge number. And also, he has a partner, Baron Davis, 2-time NBA All-Star.
Oh, yeah, I know Baron Davis.
As well as I, because I am a sports analyst and reporter and expert. And so, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to let you have it.
Two of those things together. I mean, it's true. So here we are.
Okay.
So, yeah, $2.4 billion, apparently they're in discussion. I heard that there's nothing official yet, but they're supposed to, I guess Reebok's going to make a decision or something like that in the coming months. Apparently Master P believes that he will be able to rebrand the company and use it as something that they could put back into the community. And I find that to be exciting. I mean, it's not necessarily going to make me wear them. I'll buy them. You know, but.
Well, I mean, maybe you will. You might be like, you know, don't like the design or whatever, and decide.
Because I will support, you know, the intent.
Blacks.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, I just, through this, you know, very quick Google search that I did in an article I found on Yahoo that says performance basketball sneakers are just 3% of all athletic shoes that are sold. And this nigga talking about building the brand around Allen Iverson, who Generation Z probably does not know at all.
That would be
it's just criminal. Like, sir, he talking about we got to market to the millennials. No, millennials are almost 40. Oh. You need to market to them children. And I think millennials are maybe the young people to Master P. And so I just... Not that I'm necessarily against it, but if you plan on building your brand around Allen Iverson in 2020, I feel like there's a very niche segment of niggas that are going to be hype. And then the rest of the world is just going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. So
I think that, like, sometimes with acquisitions like this, I look forward to seeing, you know, the result of whatever it would be. I mean, like, I'm curious to see what a Master P Baron Davis Reebok looks like. Apparently they also have like a luxury or high fashion sneaker company.
The two of them do?
Yeah, like they get these shoes crafted in Italy. Money Yachty? That sounds like such a rapper's shoe.
It does.
And these definitely look like them expensive ass Kingdom Hearts looking ass shoes that be in Bloomingdale's and stuff. I'm not even mad. Like, I tend to like some of them. I don't like this one I'm looking at. But yeah, Master P is out here working. So if you're a fan of Reeboks or just interested in supporting, you know, some new black things.
I mean, honestly, between Master P and Baron Davis, I'm still shocked they have $2.4 billion.
I don't know any of this.
It just seems... Again. It's probably a lot of names I don't know behind the scenes of that, but okay.
You know what's gourmet and high, you know, rich and wealthy? The wealthiest thing? That fucking limited edition Uncrustable that I made. That's as luxury as it's getting. Air fried pastries. Get your life
and
in
that. That's fine, friend. That is absolutely fine.
So, y'all are going to make Savannah James beat y'all ass. And we're all going to let her.
Oh, no.
Did you hear about... So, some really raggedy, foolish, not nearly as luxurious and fact-having as Kid Fury's sports shorts sports blog. Ran with some tweet story headline, whatever the fuck that's... I'm just saying, like, obviously, if you're trying to get sports information, you should come here.
Right.
Because my facts are real. They're true. They're concise.
Could have saved them this trouble, I'm sure.
So, yeah, some raggedy ass sports blog posted a story saying that Larsa Pippen and LeBron James Jr., who is 16 years old, had been like DMing each other after he liked one of her pictures.
Not that 50-year-old woman. Shut up.
Like,
girl, shut up. Oh, now I see why Savannah. Oh, shit. Oh, you are about to lose your job. Get this dance. Oh, wait. No, y'all didn't lie on her underage child.
Like, for what? What are you, bitch?
Oh, my God. Oh, no, you're in trouble.
So, LeBron Jr., who is known by Bronny.
Oh, yeah. Bronny smoking
put
weed.
Put on his...
I remember. Bronny over there smoking weed.
Yeah, he posted on his IG, I liked one of my best friend's mom's picture. Y'all are just childish. The thing that sent me about this post, though, is the picture that the text is overlaid on is like a mouse that's in front of like a computer screen that looks to be the only thing lighting the room. And the reason that Sammy is like, I hope I can even explain this. It gives me like, he just got done reading your bullshit and immediately opened his phone.
I'm looking for it.
I mean, this is likely not on Instagram anymore because this happened like,
oh, damn.
Before New Year's.
Not his name but being Bronny on Instagram. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's it. This picture told me he literally didn't even close out the blog. He immediately picked up his phone.
Oh, I found it. I found, oh, thank God, I forgot some blogs. I found it.
So, of course, Miss Savannah James had to enter the chat.
Period. Period.
And on her iOS press release, she said, with everything going on in the world right now, this is the shit y'all talking about. At the end of the day, y'all are talking about a minor. I don't care what type of celebrity y'all think he is. He's a child. And the bullshit needs to stop. Y'all got the right one.
Period. Period. Oh, shit.
LeBron also, like, he, like, reposted her story on his with a little, this is like two or three sentences at the bottom. Uh-oh, y'all. Fuck with the wrong one now. Good luck. It won't be cute. I love when a nigga will step, like, will stand right in her background and be like, there it is.
I ain't even got to say nothing. You got to fuck that right. She can handle you. And honestly, feel kind of sorry for you because y'all
just pop open a beach chair. Like a little lawn situation.
Do what you gotta do, baby. Just have a Mai Tai. You need some water? You want a towel? Because I got you, babe. Whatever you need.
You want me to bring you the brass knuckles, boo? All right. Like that I live. I don't really know. I know that Larsa Pippen also came forward and was like, listen, I will sue y'all. And then she, I guess, got into whatever discussion about her alleged mistress. Oh my God. But I don't give a fuck about that. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't.
Oh, no. One of y'all really fucking tried it. Why would you even get a young, like, why would you even play around with the idea that an underage boy and a woman old enough to be his grandmother were in each other's DMs in a flirtation? Why would you even play around with that? Why would you do that?
And, like, all of these people know each other, girl.
Yeah, like,
they work at the same place.
I'm assuming LeBron James' child and Scottie Pippen's child are friends.
He literally said, my best friend's mom.
So, like, you know, this is just, Savannah wants y'all to leave her children out of the dumb shit. She stays out of the rest of it. But when you talk about one of her kids, that's when the claws come out. And I'm not mad at it at all. Whoever had the audacity, you need to learn a lesson here. Because you can't, if anything, like, I don't care, publish whatever dumb, stupid lies that you want to publish. I really don't give a fuck. But when you talk about children and, like, felonies, when you're insinuating that somebody is doing something that egregious, like, you have to expect that people are not going to just sit back and let that shit rock.
And when it comes to that shit, I typically don't put anything past anybody. But you looking at LeBron James Jr., or looking at the fact that he liked this woman's photo, how does that then jump to their DMing each other inappropriately or something like that? Like,
because you want it to be messy. You want it clicks.
It's not enough. Like, that's okay.
Y'all still dying for clicks? Really?
Okay. Last but not least, we never talked about Rihanna and her new dating situation, have we?
Oh, no. And can we? You know what? Do whatever you feel is right.
Do I even have anything I want to say about
it? Isn't this the same nigga who said dark-skinned girls can't wear... Okay. So, I'm just like... You know she sells Avon for women of all colors. Do you know that? It comes in shades that complement all the girls. I'm sure he knows that now. He probably didn't know it before, but I'm sure he knows it now. That's literally the first and only thing I thought of when I heard that story. So I'm done.
You know what? I'm finished too. I don't even care. Let's take a break. We're going to pay. Okay, we're back. It is now time for listener letters.
Yes, send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. We may read them aloud on the show. We have an update this week from Martine, if you remember from a few weeks ago. Martine is the woman who was in a long-term lesbian relationship, but her girlfriend's parents, like, basically did not talk to her. You remember, like, they would be on the phone and she would be in the car and they just, like, completely ignored her altogether and acted like she didn't exist. So,
yeah.
Martine says, just wanted to update y'all. My girlfriend did talk to her family after I played the episode for her. She talked to her therapist and then talked to her mom, who, of course, is the nucleus for her family's attitude. which, I mean, yes. And her mother promised to make an effort and even said hello to me over the phone, which is a big step for us.
Just a hello. God damn.
The day after Christmas, my girlfriend proposed and I'm now a fiance and my family is thrilled. Thanks for the advice, best Martine. Well, sister, I am so happy it worked out for you. And that she had the conversation, and most of all that your fiance's mother was like able to hear the issue and commit to doing better. That matters more than anything else. So,
because as you were reading that, I was like, Lord, I don't know which way this
could
go.
A lot of different directions. And then she included a picture of them, you know, being all gay and engaged. So congratulations. Very happy for you. Of course, most of y'all don't have endings that are anywhere near that positive, but let's move forward. Let's see. Oh, well, we have a letter here from Drusilla who says, my boyfriend of 2 years keeps telling me that I'm his favorite person, which is so sweet, but he is not mine. He might be he might be top 20 when it comes to friends or top 40 when I include family, but definitely not my favorite person. Do y'all think this is normal? Am I wrong for feeling this way? The last time he said it, I finally lied and said that he was my favorite person too, but I don't have a poker face, so I know that he knows I lied. I plan on practicing lying in the mirror for the next time he asks, because there will definitely be a next time. Do y'all think my feelings are weird? What should I do? Sincerely, Drusilla. This nigga is laid out. What should Drusilla do? Her boyfriend is not her, not even top 20, really.
What the fuck is, what is this nigga doing? What is he up to? Like, I would be like, nigga, are you the feds? Like, what is, right? What's going on? Why do we keep doing this? Yeah, favorite, sure, whatever. Can we just watch the fucking movie? Like, I don't...
Oh, man.
Like, how do you even address this? Like, I can't think of how I would address this without being brutally honest.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, you done already lied, so you don't have to make us, you know, make up for that in the conversation at some point. But, like, I couldn't see myself being like, yeah, you're my favorite person, like, lying directly to you when I'm an adult and then you're adult.
Right.
So I don't know we have to do that. I think I would really more so be interested in getting down to the bottom of why you need me to validate your ranking in my life 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. Like, listen, when she said, and there will definitely be a next time,
he says this all the time, okay? And it has turned into an issue, clearly.
Is it like a weird, like, you know, like some people in relationships like try to give their relationship this weird inside joke or like weird thing that they do?
Yeah, whether it's a like name, a little quirky thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. Is that what he is supposed to be, like the cutesy baby relationship chit chat thing? It's like, yeah. First of all, you can save that. But
it feels very, y'all are 19 years old to me.
Right. But like, if it is that, then could it be something that's replaced with something less annoying or compromising? Because I don't get it.
Yeah. I would, I don't know. I think you're right. Like, the main issue here is why he needs you to like validate that he is also your favorite person. But like, just the whole, like, why do you have to be my favorite person? You can just be the nigga I'm in a relationship with. How about you top one of one in people I'm dating? And why can't that be enough? Like, why do you have to be my favorite person? It's not even just that you have to answer. It's that you have to answer and say the same thing he did. Why can't you be like, well, I mean, actually, if I'm just talking about kicking it, I would rather be with my sister and my cousins, you know? I mean, maybe it's that, or maybe you need to investigate why he is not even top 40 of your favorite people.
You know what? You brought me back to that statement. I forgot all about that part.
Because she said top 20 when you counting friends, top 40 when you counting family. And it's like, maybe he should rank higher than that because you had to go as low as 40, which lets me know he's in the lower 30s. So yikes. Maybe you need to ask yourself why he ranks that low and is your man. And so I think you have a few questions here that you can parse and then come to a resolution for this.
Yeah. I also think if you really want to be Lynn from Girlfriends, you could be like, you know what? I am my favorite person and I want you to be your favorite person.
Oh, yeah.
Because how can we be anyone else's favorite if we are not our own? Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Let the music play. to the moon.
Yeah. Okay. And it ends like Drag Race. But yes. I mean, I think that's valid too. Like, you should be your biggest pet project and you should be the number one object of your own attention and desires and all that. Like, I feel like all that frou-frou woo-woo shit works as well. It does.
Yeah.
A lot of questions you can ask here instead of feeling pressured to say, oh, well, yeah, you're mine too. And then let that be that. Like, there's a few different routes.
Homework.
Right. Right. And if he pushes back or acts ridiculous about it, then you know what to do. You know what to do.
Yeah.
But a few different ways you can go with that. Good luck. Let us know, please, which one you chose.
Please.
Cannot wait to hear how this went.
Yes, please.
All right. Next letter comes from Kelly, who says, I'm a 19-year-old black woman at university right now, and I have been seeing this guy 6 years older than me for a friends with benefits situation for about a month now. We've been starting to get more comfortable around each other recently, which is great. But last time we met up, he started calling me his chocolate dessert and talking about how he loves black girls and how we have the fattest asses.
What?
He keeps saying how he loves black girls' hair and how his ex was black. And when he refers to my race like that, it makes me feel a little bit icky. If you couldn't tell, he's white.
I mean...
But up till now, I just didn't comment on his remarks. I really don't know how to feel about them, though, because he only says these things every once in a while, and we do get along well, and we're not in a serious relationship. Now that COVID has come along, or since COVID has been along the entire time that we've been seeing each other, he is part of my support bubble. So I don't really want to let him go. Is it bad that these fetishy comments are not a deal breaker for me? I think maybe I should bring this up to him the next time it happens. What do you guys think I should do? Thanks, Kelly.
If it was a big enough deal for you to write into two strangers and tell us all about it and ask us what the fuck you should do.
Right. So. Even if it wasn't a deal breaker, you felt that strongly about it, sister.
I don't know how y'all let white people get away with shit like this.
Cannot even imagine. I have never even desired a white person, like sexually or romantically. I have never been like, if this white person does not respond to me, I will be sad.
I don't.
Never. It has never happened.
I don't know if it's bad that it's not a deal breaker for you. I can say it would absolutely be one for me. I think that you should ask him to cease fetishizing your fucking race. Like, I understand that my genetic code is a beautiful, amazing, magical thing. But, Tim, if you don't shut the fuck up talking about chocolate Godiva goddess, whatever the fuck your dumb ass said, like, we're going to have real problems. Yeah, I don't know. I think that shit like that, even if it's not as often as the last letter's boyfriend asking her if he's her favorite person, even if it's every once in a while, I still think that that's something worth expanding upon and getting down to the bottom. Because, like, it's a lot of white people that fetishize black people sexually, whatever, that feel the same way and never say anything.
Oh, yeah.
So... If mama is upfront enough to be like, oh yeah, you chocolate girls got the best ass and da 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 and all that other shit. It's like, you know what I mean? I don't even think that if a white boy said that to me, especially a friend with benefits at that, I don't even think that I would be immediately turned off unless he never said it again. if it was like a comment that he made about my skin being beautiful or whatever the fuck else, and that was like the only time that I can think of him mentioning something, then maybe. But
I think that it's not necessarily bad that him fetishizing you is not a deal breaker for you, because you're 19 years old and therefore technically you are allowed to make your own decisions. And if you don't mind being fetishized, or if you like being fetishized, then there's nothing wrong with you enjoying that. Now, he is 6 years older than you. Right. I mean, there are a lot of people who love like fetish comments and do fetish work and whatever. Yeah. So like, if you're into it, then that's fine. But it clearly bothers you. I don't think you would have emailed us if it didn't bother you. So it's the fact that it bothers you. That's all that it takes for you to have to, for you to feel like you can approach him with it. So if I were you, I would bring it up before y'all had sex again. Honestly, I would probably get right on his iMessage or WhatsApp or whatever else, probably tonight, and be like, so excuse you, white man, just so you know, I am a black woman who happens to be fucking you. I am not your black fetish that costs significantly more than what you're paying.
Damn right.
And so if I'm about to be your chocolate bunny with the big fat ass, then I need to be making chocolate bunny with the big fat ass money. Like, sure. If I'm going to be all that, then you need to turn it into a business type of relationship. Because I thought we were just two humans having sex, but you getting your black girl jollies off here, and I'm not going to do that for free. But see, this is right. Me speaking, so.
Oh, I agree.
So, but it clearly bothers you. So I would say, don't worry about whether it's bad that it's not a deal breaker to you. Worry about whether you're really advocating for yourself and making your feelings known, regardless.
Right.
Because if you lose this man, oh, well, he was only fetishizing you and he wasn't paying you no damn way. So you didn't lose nothing. Dick is abundant, sis. You know how many dicks there are in this world?
I mean, she said he a friend with benefits anyway.
So right.
Like, it doesn't seem like
you will find another dick. You're
crazy to cut off, right? And yeah. It's been a month. Mm-mm. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he's part of your bubble, but a month you can find another bubble.
I absolutely agree with going the Carisha route and being like, little nigga, so it's going to be way more stacks than that.
Yeah.
All these bunnies and chocolate this and all whatever the fuck.
Because
the thing is, not even like you're speaking about black women in a way that's like, thanks.
Right.
You're like, oh, y'all got the fat asses and this and lips and da da da. Like, Jack Harlow, don't say anything else.
And this is not even universally true of black women. Again, this is just your fetishy right. stereotype. This is like the things that attracted you to me and what you get off on. And for all that, I'm just saying you're going to have to come up with more than just it. For me, personally. But you decide, regardless though, you need to tell him how you really feel about it. Don't just be fucking this man for the hell of it. And all the time you like secretly resenting the way he talks about you. Because he's probably only going to get more fetishy as this goes on. So if I were you, I would nip it in the bud right now and, you know, come to a mutual understanding or leave that motherfucker alone. There's plenty of other white men out there, girl.
Yeah.
All right. Our last letter comes from Brandon, who says, I have been put in a very awkward situation.
Brandon's always are.
I have a friend that I've known for a little over 10 years. Let's call him Dave. We used to work together in our early 20s and we've maintained contact ever since. Our friendship was never deep. And honestly, using the word friend is a stretch. When Dave and I were younger, we would hang out and do stuff like play video games, watch movies, and hang out at the bookstore. We slowly grew apart because being in our early 20s, I was always busy with school and work while he wanted to continue to do the same stuff we always did. Eventually, we went from hanging out every week to every few months and then to maybe once a year. Fast forward to a couple of days ago, he came by my job with his girlfriend who he recently got engaged to. He came by because his fiance was having trouble with her computer, but while I was taking a look at it, he asked me if I would be his best man at their wedding. I was so confused at that moment because of everything I just said before. Like, this man and I maybe talk once a year, but he said, are you surprised? And I said, of course. I was surprised because we don't have that kind of friendship at all. But I told him that I had to get back to work and I would call him later on. I wanted to tell him no, because me being the best man makes no sense at all. And I was honestly debating even going to their wedding in the first place, because we are in a fucking pandemic right now and I'm not trying to die.
Right.
I feel really bad because in his mind, he might really believe that we're best friends or close, but in reality, we are not. As a matter of fact, my actual friends think that this man is delusional when I told them about this story. How do I tell him no without being a dick? Or do you guys think I should actually be his best man? Because it seems like he doesn't have any friends. I did ask via text how many groomsmen will be there, and he said 4 or 5. So do y'all think maybe he can pick one of those guys instead? Really not sure what to do. Thanks for any advice you can give. Love you both, Brandon. Brandon is coming to us, nigga.
Yikes.
Oh, man. What do you do when a nigga you barely know asks you to be his best? Have you ever been asked to be in somebody's wedding?
Why would he do that? No. I've been asked to attend.
But you've never been asked to be in one.
No. Thank God.
Oh, wow. That's such a boy situation. Do you know how many times I've been a bridesmaid?
I mean, that's...
I'm just saying. I was a bridesmaid for the first time when I was like 12.
What?
Yeah, when my cousin got married, I was a bridesmaid in her very ghetto, very fun wedding. It was a lot of fun.
What does a bridesmaid do?
So at age 12, I just had to put on the dress because my younger cousin couldn't fit it.
Not a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it was just a matter of my cousin was supposed to be the bridesmaid, but she was too little for the dress and they wasn't going to pay to get it altered so I could fit it. So I got to be the bridesmaid. And, you know, directly after the wedding, niggas went and changed it to their street clothes, so it messed up the pictures. And it was great. It was, I just remember that being a very, it was a very fun, very hood-ass night in Houston, Texas.
That sounds
good. But as an adult, it's more of like, the job is to kind of help the bride with whatever she needs, especially the maid of honor. Like, that's really her job, is to be the bride's like main bitch. Bridesmaids is really like, just show up, be cute, wear the dress I picked out, get your hair done, like, and take pictures.
Basically, being a bridesmaid is like gang gang.
Yes. Like I'm this bitch's gang gang, nigga. Okay. Like, this my bitch right here. And if shit go down, I will fight behind this bitch that I'm representing right now. Basically, that the maid of honor or the matron of honor, they're the ones who do the real work. So
yeah, I was more familiar with what a maid of honor or matron would do. But the answer you just gave me is kind of what I assume. Because I was like, all I ever see them do is wear a dress.
Yeah, wear a dress and take pictures. Right. Post them and use the bridal hashtag. Because everybody has a hashtag now for their damn wedding, and that's your job.
And they be getting cutouts of the hashtag and they hang the cutout up. Snapchat filters, custom made IG filters. Yeah, I don't know what you would do. I really don't. Because, like, I feel like a huge part of me, I won't say huge, I think a significant part of me would want to do it anyway. Because I would feel bad. Like, if I know that this man, like, doesn't really have friends like that, or, you know, the situation is kind of fucked up, I might feel bad enough to actually do it. The thing is, this sounds like some, like, insecure shit. This sounds like some shit that, like, a character played by Issa Rae would end up in. And it's just, like, way worse than you could have ever anticipated. And everything that shouldn't happen happens at it just because you decided to actually participate in this random shit. So, I don't know. And, like, who are the other 4 or 5? Are they also some niggas that he only speaks to once every 365 days?
I mean,
are they like,
yeah, probably. honestly.
Because I can't imagine why he'd pick you over any one of them then.
Yeah, the thing is, if he picked you as his best man, then that means he talks to these other people even less.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you're the closest.
How effective can you even be as a best man if you barely know the motherfucker? You haven't spoken since June. Like, what are... Right. I don't...
And I mean, so right, there's that. And then there's also, if you don't want to do it, then you just ought not do it.
That's why I changed my shit from huge to significant. The amount of my heart that would do it is notable. I feel like it was worth mentioning. But most of all, yes. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
Because I have a feeling those other 4 to 5 groomsmen are not even confirmed yet. Mm. I just have a feeling. That's how many people he invited. How many actually confirmed to be there is another story. And although, you know, it may seem sad that he's reaching out to somebody who he's not even actually close to anymore about being a best man, that doesn't mean you have to do it anyway. And again, right. The pandemic is the perfect excuse of getting out of anything you don't want to do in person. Literally anything. Because nobody reasonable can argue with you about it.
Unless y'all bitches were just having jalapeno poppers and strawberry margaritas indoors or wherever the fuck, like, because bitch, right. If y'all was just
unless
doing
you
that,
are displaying and it's like, oh. Erratic behavior,
like, they would be like, Ashanti, I'm sick. I can't.
They gonna be
to
like, bitch, because you had your ass all over the world.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think I would want to just like talk to him a bit first, like have like an honest, open conversation about why he picked you. You don't even necessarily need to imply that you wouldn't do it if you are even possibly considering it. If you 100% decide, I'm not going to fucking do it because I don't want to, then you should say that. But I think it's also, like, fair if you give a fuck to just try and get in his head a bit and see why he chose you as his best man or something. Like, you don't know enough, obviously. Maybe getting to the bottom of it will change your perception of everything like that. But I wouldn't just be like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Like, yeah. Without getting any kind of... Because that's, like, kind of bizarre.
No, it definitely is. So, I mean, again, I have been a bridesmaid many times. Hmm. Like, at least 5 or 6. And finna be one again next year. So... I'm very familiar with the whole process. I've dealt with many brides and grooms throughout my life, and it's just completely out of the norm to pick somebody you don't talk to on a regular basis to be your best anything. So, yeah, you're allowed to say no for that reason. If you feel like that's too harsh, you can say, look, because of the pandemic, I'm really not doing careless events or reckless events or events with over 3 people. Like, you can literally say anything because it's a fucking pandemic and can't nobody be mad at you for that. And even if they are mad, oh well, they can suck your dick because bitch, it's a pandemic and you get to be you get to look out for yourself. So if the pandemic feels safer for you to use as an excuse because you don't feel comfortable, you know, hurting people's feelings than any other way, then just do that. But yeah, I don't think you have to be like, sir, it's extremely weird that you're contacting me, even though we haven't been close since we were 17 years old. Like, you can just say no and let that be that. And again, you can't necessarily, I feel like I say this all the time, but you can't necessarily control whether you hurt somebody's feelings. You can say things with love and care and like genuine softness or gentleness, but sometimes what you say just may hurt somebody's feelings because it's hurtful to be rejected. And they have to deal with that hurt. That's not on you. It's on you to be honest and real with yourself about what you really want and what you really want to do.
It's tone and delivery and like intent that is really important in those situations. Because if you're speaking to them as someone who's just listening and trying to get an understanding and figure out what's going on and be helpful in a way that you maybe can be helpful without being a fucking best man or going to the damn wedding or whatever, versus being like, what the fuck is wrong with you, nigga? Bitch, I don't talk to you like it.
Right.
That would not be helpful. But yeah, Crystal was right. You can't control all the time whether you're going to hurt someone's feelings or not. And sometimes they need to hear what is going to hurt their feelings.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do. And it's not necessarily nice for them, but you still have to be true to yourself. You shouldn't sacrifice what you truly want or believe or hold as a value to yourself in order to make somebody else happy. Like, it's a wedding. When they come right down to it, they could go down to the courthouse or drive through Vegas and get married. They don't have to have some event, and you don't have to be there because you're not one of the niggas in the marriage. So.
Right.
They're the only two who really have to be there. They and a paid witness. So,
how many of your bridesmaid dresses did you hate?
Honestly, most of them were pretty cute because I have only ever been a bridesmaid for Black women. And although Black women want to be the star of the show, they do. They want to be the star.
I know what you're about to say. Go ahead.
They always are the star.
Yeah.
When it come right down to it, they want their bridesmaids to be cute as well. They don't want no ugly bitches in their wedding.
Yeah.
And so you're not about to wear some taffeta pastel bullshit in they fucking wedding. You about to be laced, draped. The new trend, it's actually not even that new no more, but where it's like, here's the color that everybody has to have. And then you pick the style of dress that works for you and your body. Or, you know, pick whatever as long as it's this same style. Like, people are doing all kind of different shit now. But I've normally seen, like, white women be the ones who sabotage their friends. I just had, you know, my friend Terry, God bless her, she might end up hearing this. When she got married, she was very crazy. And she would not, my friend Adrian mentioned that she might dye her hair, and Terry said, not before the wedding. Sorry, Terry. It was just so funny when you said it, and it's still funny because you was dead ass serious. Like, Adrian could not dye her hair. It might be some shit like that, but they never That's want hilarious. You to be ugly. They never want you to look bad. Never. Yeah. Not in my experience. So, you know, shout out to all the Black women I have been a bridesmaid for. Love you.
Yeah.
Most of them are still. No, all them hoes are still married. All of them. Amen. 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 Look at God. So, yes. Anyway, the point is, you don't want to do it. So don't do it. You can say it and be kind about it. But there's no way to guarantee that you won't hurt his feelings. And that's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That wraps up the questions for this week. Again, make sure you send yours to asktheread@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
All right. So it is now time for our first read of the year.
Sure is.
I have not prepared much. I will simply say that with us crowds of white people who were, I don't know if you saw this, doing this like anti-mask protest somewhere in LA.
No.
So this fucking sweaty group of hogs decided to like walk into this grocery store, walk into this mall, all without masks on, which obviously anybody who has been awake for the past year and since, like, however, everybody knows that if you do that, someone is very likely going to stop you and tell you that you may not be there.
They are.
Unless you have a mask on.
They are gonna do that. Yes,
that is what these motherfuckers want them to do, so then they can take their weird ass clips that they're filming on their phones back to Facebook and 4chan and QAnon or whatever the fuck, and be like, oh, look at all of these fucking sheep, these communists. One guy called a guy a mask Nazi for being in the grocery store with a mask on his face and listening to rules and trying to stay alive while also keeping other people alive. One of them, I think even the same guy, made a comment like, Trump supporters are the most oppressed group.
Girl, no the fuck you didn't. Oppressed how?
So, I'm not even going to talk about y'all literally going out, putting other people's health at risk, and antagonizing them. Like, not even not even just going and walking around and having an argument when someone stops you, security or whatever. Like going up to motherfuckers just randomly in the mall and fussing with them for also having a mask on or for looking at your dumb ass like you're crazy. I'm not even going to. What I simply want to use this read to say is, if white people want to be oppressed so bad, treat them like oppressed people. I want you motherfuckers to come out here and start, you know, shooting these bitches with water hoses and Glock 45s. Yes. Why aren't you bitches like, I'm sorry, what are you not doing? These, first of all, they're actually putting people's health at risk versus, you know, when black people maybe hold hands and
just wanted a milkshake,
pray or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, these motherfuckers are actually putting people in harm's way and getting physical with motherfuckers in some instances, things like this. Like, if these motherfuckers want to be so oppressed, oppress them. Start beating their asses. Sick the dogs on them and the fire hoses. I don't understand what's taking so goddamn long. Matter of fact, if they want to be oppressed, I think that you should take it all the way back to their roots and you should start whipping these niggas right in the damn street. I don't understand what's taking so fucking long. The girls have lost it. They've lost it. They've lost it. And the worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come because these motherfuckers still believe that fucking rust-colored dumbass is somehow still the president and going to be the president for another 4 years or whatever.
No.
So it is only going to get worse for, you know, whenever reality actually sinks in. Unless it doesn't. This may all be a fever dream. I honestly think that I'm in a simulation sometimes. None of this is real. So who actually even knows what's going on? But yes, all I want to say, and I said before on, I don't know what episode, that white people want to be oppressed so bad. I meant it. Here they are saying they it out loud. If they want to be oppressed, put them in cages.
Yes.
Beat their asses. You know, kill them for no goddamn reason. Mm-hmm. Go into their fucking bedrooms and shoot them in their sleep and put them in cages. Yes. And electrocute them.
Release the hounds.
Burn down their churches. What's taking so fucking long? I pay my taxes. Oppressed where? You bitches are out of it. Yeah. Like
they want to be. They really do want to have a problem.
Because they want you to wear a mask.
So you don't kill
during
them?
During a global pandemic where an airborne virus is coming for the girl.
Oh, like, man. I don't.
The only time that my mask has been like uncomfortable is when I'm working out and it's sweating. And I still keep it on my face.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take. And, you know, maybe it's not going to. I think that a lot of y'all honestly are demons. That isn't hyperbole or like any form of, I sincerely think that y'all are demons, a lot of you. Because demons call the devil God too. So maybe you were always talking to Beelzebub.
Oh my God.
You know, I kind of feel like maybe just some of y'all are just doing what, you know, Lucifer has taught you to do.
A lot of Christians use that Lucifer used to be an angel line. They use it. They love it. And I feel like that's where you're going with it. And I'm not mad at it at all. He used to be an angel. Doesn't make
some of this shit just doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, when this idiot, when that leaked, I don't know if it was leaked, that audio of him threatening them people in Georgia talking about, I want you to find all of the votes that I need.
11,000 votes, yeah.
How many was it exactly on the dot? Yeah, 11,002. Like, bitch, what are y'all doing? Like, it's a parody. It's so fucking absurd. Idiots. I don't understand how people are this dumb. It's just like, girl, I don't even, again, like I said before, I understand that as far as relying on other human beings, especially if those human beings are American, good luck. I've made my peace with that. Like, I promise you, I've made my peace with that. The girls, you know, good luck. Everyone out here, I honestly wish you the best. But as far as this particular story goes, when I saw that today, and that white man out of his mouth said that Trump supporters...
A mess.
Tell these bitches they can't use the bathroom. I want to start.
No.
Sick the dogs. Where the dogs at? Let the fucking German shepherds out. You may not use that goddamn water fountain, Phil. Get your white ass from out of here. Oppression.
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, it's the society we live in. America is very individualistic. There was like a survey of 43 countries to see which one was the most individualistic, and America came in number fucking one. Like, the worst.
Yeah.
And it makes sense when you look at this virus and the way that we act about it. Like, people, if it does not affect people directly, they literally do not care, which, trash, but...
And it's like...
Oh, here we are.
You're doing this to antagonize people. It's not even like I can't even think of a situation where it would make sense or you're in public without a mask on. Like,
it don't.
But
there's nothing.
But it's like you're not even just going down to the fucking grocery store to get milk and eggs and you forgot your mask or whatever. Like, y'all are actually going out and doing clown ass shit and getting on people's fucking nerves. And nobody's doing anything about it. Talking about where the most... One woman said to one of these protesters, my father's in the hospital with COVID or something like that. And his response was, people die. Your father's not special.
What? Oh my God.
Lynch these bitches. I want to see them swinging. What's taking so goddamn long? Burn them at the goddamn stake.
World, are you kidding?
Sick the dogs on them.
We talking about people losing their lives and y'all like, oh well. Okay, all right.
I'm
well
finished.
I mean
I don't know about this place no more, bitch. I don't know.
I mean, no, this place is nuts. And on that same note, Georgia, please, by the time this episode comes out, it will be the last day for y'all to vote. It is the last chance to get Mitch McConnell out of the Senate Majority Leader's seat. And all I can say is, please, if you are voting for the Democrats, please go out and vote, Georgia, because I really shudder to think of what can be done, or more accurately, not be done, if we have a Republican, a Democratic president and a Republican Senate. So, like... Even though I don't really fuck with either major party like that, things are infinitely better under the Democrats than under the Republicans. And I think we can all agree on that now. So
yeah,
please take your black ass to the polls by the end of Tuesday, January 5th. But on that same note, I wanted to do just two really quick reads. First, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is actually... a representative from Georgia who was just elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. She is super conservative. This bitch has been spreading QAnon rumors, if that gives you any idea of what kind of dumb shit she's about. Obviously, a huge Trump supporter.
I know this lady.
And she attacked the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, who is also a Republican, if you couldn't tell by the fact that his name is Brad Raffensperger. But she said that Brad failed Georgia and that she believed that their election should be decertified. But of course, she was on the same ballot as Donald Trump. And so when asked about that, she said, we're just talking about the president's race. Which should give you an idea of what kind of people you're dealing with. They're not even necessarily stupid. They just assume you are. Because if the ballots that said Trump lost should be decertified and you're on the ballot that Trump was on, then guess what? Guess what that means? Guess what that means? Your ballot, the ballot that voted for you and voted for Trump on the same ballot, that ballot is also a fraud. And therefore should also be tossed out. The problem with all these people who are coming up talking about we need to decertify the election and not elect Joe Biden on January 20th, not install him as president, is that these people want to act like Republicans did not win a lot of races. They did. It turns out Republicans are still very popular. It's Donald Trump that nobody likes. It's Donald Trump that had 82 million Americans coming out and being like, oh, no, bitch. Like, the biggest numbers of all time, because that's how much we hate him. I don't know why y'all don't seem to understand that, but it's fine to not understand that. What's not fine is to be on the exact same ballot and be like, well, my vote was real, but the one for him was fake. No, sweetie, it literally cannot be the same. Again, Georgia voters picked you because Georgia voters are conservative. However, Georgia voters did not pick Donald Trump, and that includes Republicans, because there are even some Republicans who realize that this nigga is off his fucking rocker and ought not be president.
Can y'all talk about that for a sec?
Like, I don't understand y'all what like y'all not y'all seeing about it. All y'all bitches voted for him. You look back over the last 4 years, and clearly some people who voted for him in 2016 changed their goddamn minds, girl.
Big time.
Again, didn't change their mind about Republican values, which are trash. Still voted for you, Marjorie, and lots of other bitch ass niggas, including Mitch McConnell in the Senate. Still voted for a lot of you motherfuckers. However, did not vote for Trump. And if anything, it should seem like this would be a signal to you to pivot from Trump. But instead, you attach yourself to a sinking ship. Not sure why. But, you know, I wish the absolute of God's worst onto Marjorie and her ilk, because, again, it's not making sense. You can't say that Trump's shit needs to be thrown out in Georgia, but yours should stay because only the president's race counted when y'all are on the same ballot.
It reminds me of last year when he was first starting up the voter fraud, the mail-in, let's remove the, you know, the mailboxes and all that stuff, where he was like, oh, it's going to be a bad thing for everyone, but not Florida. Florida is where everything works just fine over there. Florida's great. They never have anything fraudulent go on, even though they had an issue on
the reason most people know what the Electoral College even is because of 2000 and them votes in Florida, and that came down to like 56 votes. It wasn't thousands like it was this time. It was like literally a few dozen votes. Nigga, shut up.
What a maniac. Like, what is wrong? What are we doing?
Some of us remember, first of all. Some of us were alive back then, and we literally remember what happened. And then others are capable of reading. So there's just so many things standing in Donald Trump's way. But yes, fuck you to that woman. And then also to the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey. Don't get me wrong, I really enjoy Whole Foods for the quality of their products and all that. Like, Whole Foods is a great store to shop at if you can afford to do so. That's a very important caveat, because Key Foods is 5 times cheaper for anything you got at Whole Foods. And let me tell you, I'm not buying paper towels at Whole Foods, child. But anyway, John Mackey, who, you know, came out against Obamacare back when it was first being proposed as a thing, went on an episode of Freakonomics Radio. Never heard of it, but it sounds like something for the whites. And said that we don't really need health care. What we need is to change the way people eat and the way that they live. And then they wouldn't need health care in the first place. So I'm going to go ahead and quote him here.
I'm not kidding.
Quote, I mean, honestly, we talk about healthcare. The best solution is to not need healthcare. The best solution is to change the way people eat, the way they live, the lifestyle and diet. There's no reason why people shouldn't be healthy and have a longer health span. A bunch of drugs is not going to solve the problem. End quote. So, the thing is, John Mackey does have a point that a lot of people have health issues that could be reversed if they had access to a better diet and better ways to care for themselves. That is true. However, people are always going to need health care, because no matter how fucking horny you are for veganism and jogging at 5 a.m. and drinking ionized filtered virgin unicorn water or whatever the fuck else, you can get sick because you live in a human meat sack like the rest of us. And people are born with pre-existing conditions. People develop conditions. There's a global pandemic, maybe, like COVID-19, that don't care how quote unquote healthy you are. And you just need health care. People need health care regardless. You can't diet your way into never needing a fucking doctor.
Was he high?
Was he? Do you have some incredible drugs? What do you have that I don't have?
countless health issues a person can have that have nothing the fuck to do with what you would buy at Whole Foods or eat or whatever. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Because, of course, if people are able to look after themselves and eat foods that are better for their bodies, which means also, while we're talking about it, you talking about people eating right. Last time I checked, Whole Foods does not have their doors wide open for anybody to just come in and grab some fresh, good ass produce. Last I checked, you got to have the fucking ducats to take your ass up into Whole Foods. Otherwise, you get what you can afford and what can keep and what can feed your whole fucking family while you are on your budget and your time limitations. This man is a fucking vegetarian who meditates and runs every morning or whatever else because he can do that. Because if he has kids, somebody else is looking after him. Because at his job, he don't have to get up and clock in at 6 o'clock in the morning to go open the fucking Whole Foods and stay there until 2:45 until the next shift manager come in. He don't live that life. He gets to do that because of his privilege. And yet he acts like the fact that everybody else is not doing the same thing is some failure on their part and not a lack of access.
Wow.
If people could live like you, they would, motherfucker.
That's the thing. It's like people, you know, you'd have to know, understand, like people who may not shop at Whole Foods or whatever farmer's market with whatever you fucking feel is like the correct food to eat. Lots of people who don't shop at those places would love to shop at those places or like things from those places or whatnot. But then let's once again discuss what they can afford.
Right.
Not only for themselves, but for and many, many, many of them, for families as well. It's just like, what? But then to be like, oh, yeah, girl, like if you just had some asparagus, you'd never need healthcare. Like what?
Right. It just doesn't make sense. Because, again, you can make all the arguments you want to about better nutrition, wider access to fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains and all that shit. Nobody who knows science is arguing that. However, the rest of us understand that it's not simply a matter of choice. People have to make choices that you never have to make before they even get their day started. And you don't know shit about that. Yeah. So maybe stay in your vegan ass, rich ass, white person lane and let the niggas who shop at C-Store and Key Foods to they shit. Some people go to Walmart to get every single thing they need. And you cannot relate at all. Because you ain't bought drawers, socks, T-shirts, pajamas, groceries, TVs, nothing at Walmart before. So just leave, like, this whole idea that it's something wrong with people for not doing the things that rich people do is ridiculous. Do you think people want to work 2 and 3 jobs to keep the lights on in their house for rich motherfuckers like you? I'm tired of wealthy white people. I'm beyond tired. So fuck.
And then to
you,
make it all worse.
Sir.
To make it worse, then your raggedy, disgusting ass cousin Buck gonna come down to the motherfucking grocery store where I'm at with no mask on, talking about I'm a mask Nazi and acting a goddamn fool. Like, none of y'all bitches got any sense or any consideration.
None.
You disgust me.
None. And it's just rude and like beyond rude. Like, the same way we just sat here and got on Keisha Main, it's the same thing. Like, God damn, do you know what people are going through? People couldn't afford to shop at Whole Foods before. And you expect them to be able to live your ridiculous ass lifestyle? You're the anomaly, bitch. More people are broke and just trying to feed their families than people living like you. So just mind your rich ass business and leave the rest of us alone.
That is an unbelievable thing to
say. Okay.
What an idiot.
And that's it.
Yep, that's this first episode for 2021.
That's right. I am done. That wraps up this week's episode of The Read. Don't forget to check us out on social media at This Is The Read. Our website is thisistheread.com. Also, we will be having a special episode featuring some mental health professionals here in the next few weeks. So if you have a question that you would like to ask a mental health professional and The Read, please send an email to asktheread@gmail.com. And in the subject line, please put MHP MHP question, MHP meaning mental health professional. That way we know to save them for that episode. But yes, and I think that's it for me for announcements. Friend, do you have anything?
No, I don't. I will only say, spit on them when they walk into school. Beat their asses. Shoot them dead in the street. Have them swinging from the tree. Less.
Okay, I'm fine. Yeah, what the hell is that? I don't know. All right, hoes, we will see y'all next week.